For Parshas Vayigash, in Perek Mem Hei, Vayomer Yosef el Echav, Ani Yosef ha'odavi chai, v'lo yachlu Echav lanos oso kinev halumi panav. The brothers are overwhelmed when Yosef reveals his identity. Nifhalumi panav. The famous statement of the Medrash in Breishis Rabbah here on this pasuk, Vayitein es kolo bibchi v'lo yochlu echov lanos oso. Abakoin bardolomar oilonu miyom adin oilonu miyom atochacha. We've discussed this on many occasions, even this year. There's a yom adin, there's a yom atochacha. There's a day of reckoning, a day of judgment, a day of rebuke and chastisement up in Shamayim, in the Bezen Shalmal, and that's going to happen for each and every one of us. And this encounter between Yosef and his brothers, and notice that Yosef says very little here, Ani Yosef, Oda Oda Vichai, that itself is a paradigm of Tochacha. And the brothers are overwhelmed, frozen, dead in their tracks. There's nothing they can say, nothing they can do. They're absolutely overwhelmed. Ki nivhalu miponov, says the pasuk. Oy lanu, woe to us on the day of judgment. And now the Medrash continues with a kind of a kal v'chomer. Yosef ktanam shal shivtim haya, shal shvatim haya. He was the youngest relative to those who was giving tochacha. V'lo yachlu lamod b'tochachto, and they couldn't stand on their two feet in the face of this castigation, of this chastisement. V'lo yachlu echov lanoso soki nevhalu miponav. Is how much more so l'kshayov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchi Amlochim, the eternal being, the infinite being, v'yochia kol echad v'yechad l'fi mashahu, is halachas kama v'kama. The Binyan Shlomo mentions in the name of his brother that Be'emes, when we look and study the episode of Mechiras Yosef and the aftermath, the outcome of that Mechira, we find that it's Litova. They thought it was Lera, but it turned out to be Litova. The Pasuk in Vayechi, Perek Nun, V'atem chashavtem olai ra'a, Elokim chashavo Litova l'man, Aso kayom hazel hachyos amrav. The sale of Yosef was part of a divine scheme, a divine plan. Divine providence had it that this would be the beginning of the ascent of Yosef to the position as viceroy of Egypt, which would ultimately mean lahachyos amrav, to sustain in that heavy famine basically the entire civilized world at that time. So they thought it was lera'ah, but Hashem thought it was litova. Says the Binyan Shlomo, this is equivalent to the case, a very famous case, discussed in the Gemara Nazir, and that is niskavin lechol basar chazir. He had intention to eat non-kosher food, v'ola biyada, by some fluke, some accident, basa tleh, he ate kosher meat. So that in reality there was no avera. But afal pichen, lo yachlu lamod b'tochachto. Kal v'chomer, says the Binyan Shlomo, that kishiyova kodesh baruch lochia kolechem v'echlu mimashahu. And in the context of that, of that rebuke, of that tochacha, that judgment, it's this kavi lechol basa chazir ve'ola v'gam ola biyodo basa chazir. That not only was there a machshava, a plan and a scheme to violate the law, but there was maisa as well. Is halachas kama v'kama. Imagine what the din and cheshbon will be in front of the Melech Malchi Amloch. Now, in order to appreciate this case, which the Gemara brings down in Nazir, and the Binyan Shlomo suggests and presents that case as the real paradigm of this principle that's derived from the Ache Yosef, we quote the pasuk at the end of Bamidbar, Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed. This is the parsha of Hafaras Nedarim. And the Torah authorizes the husband, in certain cases of Nedarim, to be mefer the neder. And the pasuk says, "Im hafer yafero sam isha," with a mapik hey, biom shom o, is called motzos vasel in darel lisor nafshal lo yakum, because isha haferam. But then the Torah adds three words, vashem yislach lo. So the beginning of the pasuk tells us that the husband is empowered to nullify the neder, and if he does so and he takes advantage of that right, of that opportunity, and he nullifies the letter, the vow, the neder, then the neder lo yakum, it's invalid. So the Afaras HaBaal has successfully nullified the neder, and now Vashem Yislach, God will forgive her. Why does God need to forgive her? What sin has she committed over here? So the Gemara says in Nozid Afchav Gimel, Tana Rabbanan, Isha HaFeirom Vashem Yislach Lo. What's the case? What is the scenario that the Torah is addressing? Be Isha SheHefer Lo Baila VeHilo Yada'a. She was unaware of the fact that her husband was made for the neder. And now she violates the neder. Again, there was no neder to violate, but in her mind, there was a neder. She tzricha kapara, and she needs kapara. Uslicha, and she needs slicha. And then, after this presentation of the brisa, which is a halachic presentation, meaning that since she was under the impression that the neder was valid, she was unaware of the fact that her husband had invalidated the neder. She violated the neder. She needs kapar, she needs slicha. There is a chet. And then the sefer, this price is more of an agadic statement. Shahoya magir Rabbi Akiva etzel posuk zaya bocha. He realized the severity and the serious nature of divine justice and punishment, that one could be found guilty in the eyes of God, even though at the end of the day he didn't violate the Avera because the neder was invalid. She did not violate the neder. And Rabbi Akiva derives the Kal v'chomer, Uma, if in the case of Mishan Iskavi Lalos Biyodo Bosa Chazir, but Biola Biyodo Bosa Tle, Ton, Kaporu Slicha, is Amiskavi Lalos Bosa Biyodo Bosa Chazir, Biola Biyodo Bosa Chazir, Olachas Kama v'kama. How much more so, a person is judged and found guilty for a crime that not only did he plan and scheme, but he actually implemented. If you are liable and you need kapar and slicha for an avera that's not an avera, how much more so in the case of an avera that is an avera? And if you take a look in Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Gilyoni Hashas, he quotes the Nezer HaKodesh, and he asks a very simple, naive kind of question. Why isn't there Rabbi Akiva Hayabocha? Where was everybody else? And he quotes the Arizal. This is a Kabbalistic concept about transmigration of souls, the Gilgul Neshamas. And the Ariz says that amongst the Asura Haruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs that died Al Kiddush Hashem, each of which was a Gilgul of one of the 10 brothers that sold Yosef, and Rabbi Akiva was a Gilgul of Shimon, who is the one who really was at the helm here, who almost perpetrated the crime and took the initiative. So Rabbi Akiva understood that now the Asar Ruge Malchus, insofar as they are Gilgulim of the Neshamas of the Asara Shvatim that sold Yosef, and they have to now suffer the punishment. And therefore he broke down crying, because he realized that he would be judged in the most severe way. His punishment would be that much more intense and harsh than the others because he was Shimon. And even though Yosef said to them, "Atem chashavtem alai ra'ah ve'elokim chashvo l'tova," in effect, the chait was nothing more than the chait of mechira, I should say, was nothing more than the chait of niskavin lebasa chazim ve'olav the other basar tle, because Yosef tells them quite clearly that elokim chashvo l'tova, so it's basa tle, it's kosher meat, so to speak, but nevertheless, Vashem yislach lo. And the drush of Chazal and the Pesuk Hashem Yislach La is that her husband nullified the neder, but she was not aware of that, and she violated the neder. She needs kapara, she needs slicha. That's Rabbi Akiva's situation vis-a-vis Bechiras Yosef, insofar as he is a Gilgal of Shimon. And although Hashem Chashava L'tova, Lahachyos Amrav, but nevertheless, it's basar, it's his kavi lechel basar chazir. Their intention was lira'ah. That's clear. And even though at the end of the day, what was ola biyadam was basar tleh, nevertheless, they need slichat and kapara. And the Arizal says that the death of Rabbi Akiva is so much more severe than that of the others of the Asaru Megaralchus, because he, Rabbi Akiva, is the replacement of Shimon, the reincarnation of Shimon, and he will suffer as Shimon will, who took such a role, a major role, a primary role. He was at the helm of Mechiras Yosef, and therefore it's Rabbi Akiva who is Bocha. Dafka Rabbi Akiva started crying when he heard the Pasuk and the drush of the Pasuk of Hashem Yislach Lo. Beautiful pshat, although it's very sad, but nevertheless, we see that the case of Mechiras Yosef really fits like a glove into this paradigmic sugya of someone who really wanted to violate an avera, never actually succeeded in implementing and doing so, but yet nevertheless needs kapara slicha. That's the severity of this kind of a judgment on high, and therefore the rebuke and the chastisement, the tochacha here is going to be so severe because Hashem Yisach, because they had an intention of doing ra'ah, of eating basar chazir, and they didn't eat tshuva kapara. There's a sugyan kiddushin on Daf Lamed Beis about Rav Huna, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, who wanted to test his son Rav Huna in terms of the meat of Kas, to see if he would get angry, if he could control his anger. And he ripped garments, and he wanted to see what would be his son's response. So the Gemara asks, how could he do such a thing? Maybe his son will get absolutely angry? You're ripping clothes? So Gemara says, the machale liikare. In other words, there was a machila from the get-go on these begadim. So the Gemara asks then, v'kava mishum baltashchis, isn't it baltashchis to rip these begadim? And the Gemara says, no, for the sake of education, etc., it's allowed. And Tosus points out, in the Machale Likare, Tzorech Lomash Odio Kodim Lachain. He must have told his son that he was Mochel him from the beginning, because if not, it still comes under Lifneiver. Because it would come under the Alochim Niskavim Lechel Bosa Chaziv Olo Biodo Bosa Tlef. The son is guilty when, in truth, he's not guilty because there was a mechila, but in the son's mind, he doesn't know about the mechila, and that's a case where the son intended to do evil. He'll be judged, and there'll be a liability here because of Allah of Niskavin Lechel Basa Chazir, even though at the end of the day it was Allah B'Yadah Basa Tleh. Now, here we have a practical case in the laws of Yichud. I wrote extensively on the topic of Yichud, and I relied heavily on a sefer called Dvar Halacha, which is written by a Horowitz whose brother-in-law was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and wrote the approbation with a long pilpul in the introduction to the sefer. So this is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Lately, it was printed in Shut Minchas Shlomo in Simon Lamed Hey Lifnei Iver Be'isa Yichud. We're talking about the Isa Yichud, and we're talking about a woman, a married woman, who's alone with another man other than her husband. Unbeknown to her, her husband is within the city, but she mistakenly thought that he was outside the city. In her mind, she had violated the Isur of Yichud, when in fact she did not violate the Isur Yichud, because her husband was in the city. It's Baila Be'ir. Mistaber says, Reb Shlomo Zalman, the Yesh B'chai Gavna Isur Yichud Afilu Mamesiachin Yodea Shabal Kain Nimtza Be'ir Kain Degabi Didei Lo Nizkar B'shum Mokom D'mistafei Mibaila. Reb Shlomo Zalman wants to say the following, that even though the husband is in the city, there is an Isa Yichud. There's a Maisa Yichud. There's a woman who's married, who's alone with another man. And even if one of the two, let's say the man knows that the Baal is in the city, but nevertheless, she doesn't know, or the other way around. Now the whole heter here of Baila Be'ir is based on Demistafei Mibaila. She's afraid her husband might come in any minute, but here she doesn't have that fear, because she thinks that her husband is on a long trip to China. And therefore, even though Al Pi Emes, her husband is in the city, we could suggest here that there's still a violation of Yichud, because there's no Mistafei Mibaila. He says, Nira di afsha isha misyachinim yodea shabaila bi'ir afilu hachi asur im hu ainu magalalov he ainu yodas. So the one who's being miyachid with her knows that the husband is in the city, but he never notified her. And therefore there's no mistafei. Now, here Rav Shlomo Zalman says the following: Nira shevaday osu liten lechaver bosa tle im halach choshev shehu chazir v'rotze lechol bosa chazir. So, if I know that you want to eat non-kosher food, and you're under the impression that what I'm giving you here is non-kosher, I know that it's kosher. He says, gamal ze boy slicha. And we saw the Gemara in Nazir, it's also Gemara in Kedushin, that in such a case you need Slicha, there is an Avera here, and therefore he's being Machshil, the person, by giving the person meat, which that person who receives the meat thinks mistakenly is non-kosher meat, and he's going to eat it as non-kosher meat, when you yourself know that you're giving him kosher meat, but it doesn't matter because you are being Machshil, him in an Avera, because in his mind, in his scheme, he is doing an Avera. And then Reb Shlomo Zalman says, "Hachinami gam kan, harei u'machshel sa'ishu b'machsheves pigul shel iser yichud, kevan shehi ein yodas u'misiachedes af pishe choshev she'ein baila be'ir." And at this point, it sounds like Reb Shlomo Zalman is assuming that in this case there is no iser yichud, because in mitzius, in reality, her husband is in the city, not the way we wanted to suggest it before. That was farther than Afshe then, that since she doesn't have mistafei, she has no fear because she thinks he's out there in China, therefore there is an Isa Yichud. Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to assume that this is a case of Basa Tlev, also the other Basa Tlev, in other words, there's no violation of Isa Yichud, but nevertheless it comes under Hashem Yislach Lo, because she thinks that she's violating the Isa Yichud. And then in the next paragraph, Yom Marti, Mishum kach, shanosin lechaver dover machol, b'chai gavna shem ha'makabel, ho yitzorch min adin lishol osot chila imu kosher o lo. So if I'm giving you kosher food or tevel that was mufrash ready, so now it's heter tchulin, I have to notify you of that, because if you didn't ask me, then you're in a sense in a violation of this Vashem Yislach lo category. V'od yoser nira linius taitachai gavna shanosen yodesh makabel eno makiro. Meaning, it's not enough just to notify this person that he's receiving peros misukanim, because why should that person believe you? Believe me if he doesn't know me. And therefore, if he goes ahead and eats it, relying on my word, which is not backed up by anything, no certificate of kashrus, no tudat hechsher, I don't have smicha, I don't have anything. He doesn't know me. So he's really not allowed to rely on me and go ahead and eat the food that I'm giving him, even if I told him it's kosher. Ukmochein le'inyan isa yich b'mishen nichnas etzel isha. Afal pishi yodas shebala ba'iru mutam in adin l'siachir imo. Afilu hochi hi chayeves lahatim lo dia lo shebala ba'iru. Okay, so Rav Shlomo Zalman says, therefore, if she knows that her husband's in the city, she has to notify this man, because otherwise he is of the mindset that he's violating the Yichud. V'chein im ha-Yichud u-behetem v'pnei she'esham v'oso b'ayis od Pesach shu pasuch l'shtorab afilu ochi hi chayeves lahaktim u-lodil o-alkach di'im lo-kein af shem ha-mesiachid ima eno mak v'meno shol klumi komakom im hu b'chay gavna sh'mitzad adino yetzarch lishol nimtza she'im hi lo taktim v'tomar lo harei misayas li'ovrei avero machshiloso v'isav adover tzarch echrei. So Shlomo Zalman says, also in a case where there's a Pesach Pasua, but the man who comes in to be with her doesn't know about the Pesach Pasua, if she doesn't tell him, then he, if he's not makpid, is violating the Iser of Hashem Yislach Lo, because in his mindset he's violating the Iser Yichud, and he doesn't care about that. So she has to notify him that there's no Iser Yichud. Now, I got a slightly different impression from the Hakdoma to Dvar Halacha, which I'm pretty sure Shlomo Zalman himself wrote that Akdom, if not, somebody's quoting him, where he makes a sharp distinction between Baila Be'ir and Pesach Pasul Shesarabin. In the case of Baila Be'ir, there is a Maisa Yichud with a heter of the Mistafe, because Baila Be'ir, but they are in a private, locked place, secluded. In the case of Pesach Pasul Shesarabin, that's where we can talk about Basa Tleh, meaning that in reality there is no violation of Yichud. Whether there is the mistfi or not, there's no privacy. The basic element and condition of Yichud is lacking. Namely, it's got to be a private place. Here it's a public place. A person mistakenly thinks that he's in a secluded area with a woman when in fact it's not secluded at all. That is basa tleh. That's a case where his kavana was to do an aver, but he did no aver at all. In the case of Baal Be'ir, that might in fact be a Maisa Yichud, because they are alone, the door is locked. And to the best of their knowledge, the husband is way out of the city limits, and therefore there's no mistafe. If there's no mistafe, there's nothing to come and be matir, the Isa Yichud. In the case of Pesach Pasul, you don't have to come and be matir, there is no Yichud. A person is in a public area with a woman, but he doesn't realize it's public, and he thinks it's private. So that's basa tleh, and if he violates in his mind the isa yichud, then he needs tshuvan kapara because of Hashem yislach. Now on the shas there is something in the back called biurim v'iyunim, and in kedushin you'll find an interesting addition. He says, "Yeshlis tapek ha'im tzar kapar slicha mishum sha'avar al isa achilus basa chazir o mishum sha'avar al isa chadash alo hisnaig b'yirushamayim." Are we saying that since in his mind he thinks he's eating chazir, so he needs tshuva kapar for eating basa chazir, even though he didn't eat basa chazir, but we considered it as if, based on his makshava, as if he had eaten basa chazir? Or do we say, no, there's no averus basa chazir over here, but there's a separate new avera of pgiya and yira shamayim, because he, in his mind, to the best of his knowledge, he was violating the Torah law. And he quotes the Kli Chemda in Brachos regarding a case of Isha Shezinsa V'Savra Shebaila Dain Chai. So she had a free relationship, a rendezvous with a man, thinking that her husband was still alive, which means that she is over a violation of Isha Shezinsa. This is not a good state. V'Achakach Hizbar Shevishash is Zinzakvar Mesbaila. As it turns out, her husband was already dead at the time that she had this rendezvous. Ha'imi Muteris Labaila. Is she allowed to resume her relation with her husband? Because, in effect, I'm sorry, her husband's gone, but I mean to say with the Boel, because we have Allah Chavech Labalech Laboel. So in this case, since there was no Isra Eshes Ish, you would say that she's Muteris Laboel, but in her mind, since she thought her husband was alive, she was actually guilty, in her mind at least, of a Be'ilas Eishasish, and therefore we should apply the principle of Echel Laboel. So Marit Al-Ghazi says that she's Asur Laboel, which again is a Gevaldig Echidish, and he's saying that this halach of Olsa B'yada Basa Tleh means that he's in violation under the principle of Hashem Yislachla of eating basa chazir, because he mistakenly thought that it was eating basa chazir. She mistakenly thought she was violating the Isur of Be'ilas Eishes Ish, and therefore, through this channel, this category called Hashem Yislachla, she in fact is guilty of a Be'ilas Eishes Ish, and therefore that's Nus, which again is a figment of her imagination, is going to generate an Isur Laboel. And he brings a proof based on this Gemara of Hashem Yislachlo. Again, the Gemara doesn't say that Hashem Yislachlo for eating Basar Chazir. And then he has a tshuva, the Mutzal Me'esh, and he is of the opinion, he's inclined to say that Eina Asura Laboel, because she's not guilty of Znus of Eishes Ish. And that would be the more, shall we say, intuitive way of understanding it. You know, there's a planned Isur, and there's a there's a crime of intending, you know, bad intention for Isur, and that's certainly a pegiya that undermines Yira Shamayim. But to say, therefore, there's a violation of Avera when the Avera only exists as a figment of that person's imagination. So, you know, you have a dream at night that you're doing an Avera, and you decide in the dream to do the Avera, but then you wake up and you realize you didn't do the Avera in reality. So do you need Tshuva Kapara as if you did the Avera? I'm just using that as a marshal. Now, the Or Chaim, in this context of Yosef and his brothers, right, Atem Chashavtem L'ra'a, he writes, Elokim Chashvo L'tovav HaReza Domo L'miskaven Lahashkos Chavero Kos Moves Vishkeu Kos Yayin She'eno Mischai of Klum Vareim Pturim V'zakoim Gam B'dini Shamayim. So the Rechaim seems to be L'chora oblivious to this principle of Hashem Yislachla, and he says that what Yosef was telling the brothers was that this is like a case of someone who tried to poison someone, but he gave him a Kos Yayin instead. So he says even B'dini Shamayim he's Zakai. But in the edition that's published by the Moser of Kook of the Or Chaim HaKadosh, there's a footnote here, and he says, "Rabum Tamhu." Many are in amazement at trying to understand, figure out what the Or Chaim is talking about. Because the Gemara says in Nazir that if he had kavanah to eat basa chazir, then he needs kapara. And here it says that he's zakoim, that the brothers are zakoim even B'din Shamayim. That doesn't seem to make any sense. in light of the principle of also be other bosat tlet. And he writes here that harbe dio nishpach liyashev divrei rabbein. So we'll take a look at the Beis Yitzchak of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchon Inspector, and he writes, ubahachi ula yesh liyashev machehikshali chachamechem biarchayim sof parshas vayechi, where he says, "Harei peturim zakoim gam midin shemaim v'torim tmuim harei niskavi lechol basa chazir v'yalav biyos basa set zor slicha v'kapora." So eich kosev heim zakoim midin shemaim lani v'nir. And he says, "Yesh lomar kimo debaveiro l'shemaim kishiniskavi laveir v'yos a mitzvah potur v'ein zor kapora who adin kishiniskavi lahor l'chaveir v'yos a lotova potur v'zakoim af midin shemaim." So he comes up with a brand new principle, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchon, and he wants to suggest that if a person had in mind to do evil to his friend, but what he did turned out to be very good for his friend, so he's miskavin lasel saver v'yosa mitzvah, then even within shemayim he's potur, and then the levush becomes very appropriate. The levush in Yoredei Siman Kuf Nun Zayin says that hela liba tino is tuchal Ishto lovo olav lat oso biofen shehi sover shebala erva v'shari. Levush says that his wife could dress up like this other woman that he has a desire for and fool him into thinking that he is having a relationship with this erva, and that's muta. V'zeh tamu haritzol kapor shenis kavim lebosu chazir v'yoveres halifnei yiver machshilosel anal nicha kevon shehi osa mitzvah v'yein tzor kapor. She's doing a mitzvah that she's saving him from this tina b'libo, which is going to drive him crazy and might even drive him chas v'shom to do an avera. If she is somehow alleviating that tina and completely neutralizing it, that's a great mitzvah. So therefore the halacha of niskavim Lechol Bosa Chazir doesn't apply here, and there's no Vashem Yisachlo, no need for Kapar, because it was in fact a mitzvah. And this you'll see in Levush himself, in Yoredei Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, when he says, V'chem b'derech zu ba'arayos, Misha liba helatino v'choshek v'yeshes ish, im tuchal ish to lovo olav, lehat oso b'yofen sheyizbar shema, shehubala erva shari. It's mut. So therefore, getting back to the Orachayim HaKadosh, says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, in this case where the brothers actually did a mitzvah, because now that Yosef is down in Mitzrayim, he's going to be the mashbir and save the entire civilized world, there's no need for tshuva and kapor. It doesn't come under the halacha of Vashem Yislach Lo. And the Beis Yitzchak quotes the Shav HaKohen, who says that there's a fundamental difference here between Averis Benom L'Chavero and Benom L'Mokom. When the Mishnah says in Yoma that Ein Yoma Kippur Mechaper Al Averis Ben Adam L'Chavero, what happens in a case where he had a machshava against his chaver, but what turned out to be was not a chait at all? He says that becomes Ben Adam L'Mokom, and Yom Kippur is Mechaper. So what it means is that, as far as an aver to his friend is concerned, this is not considered a bein adam l'chavero iser. In other words, what's nischadish here about the plan and the scheme to do an aver of basar chazir and vashem yislacho, that's only as a dimension of bein adam l'makom. In the relationship between him and his friend, he did no harm to his friend because it turned out to be a machshava bialma, which is not a Beinon lechavero. Machshavas Iser could be, in the worst case scenario, Bein Adam lemakom, not Bein Adam lechavero. And on the level of Bein Adam lemakom, he can achieve kapara for this chashav lechol basa chazir and Hashem yislach lo. Now, it really comes out that If you're only operating with this Shav HaKohen and applying that to the Achi Yosef, they still need Kapara Bein Adam L'Mokom. If we go with the first approach of the Beis Yitzchak, based on the Levush, that if it was niskaven lechol basar chazir, but instead he did a mitzvah, then there's no need for kapara, and the pasuk of Hashem Yisachar doesn't kick in, that principle doesn't apply. And that would perhaps give the whole story of Achi Yosef a different twist. Again, the Beis Yitzchak is trying to defend the Archaim, who finds the brothers completely guiltless, even Bedin Shamayim. We don't know what the Archaim is going to do with all the statements and the reflections of Piyut that seem to indicate that the Asoru Gimalchus were put to death as a punishment, Kaviyachol, for the sin of Mechiras Yosef. And there are many other riots in Chazal that Mechiras Yosef is a terrible, catastrophic avera, where the Archaim would seem to say that's not true at all. Now, that still remains a difficult point. If you look in the Parshas Yosef, for example, Parshas Vayechi, he says, Ein kan tema klal ala Archaim HaKadosh, and you cannot raise the question of Iskavin lechol basar chazir, because the Shvatim lohayev machshavtam klal lasos isur. You cannot hold the brothers responsible for a machshavas isur, because their machshava was that they thought they were doing a mitzvah, because the Medrash says, Donu es Yosef al pi din Torah, and they handed down a verdict based on the judgment that he was either a rodef, and habola hargucha hashkim lahargo, maybe he was a morid v'malchus, v'gam kshemachru, Donu Shechayov Leos Nimkar Lievet. According to one Medrash, the final verdict is that he should be sold as an Evet. And when it says, V'nimkru Leishmeilu, L'chu V'nimkru Leishmeilim, Amru Nelech V'nitfos Darko Shel Olam, K'nan Shechoto, Lo Le'evet Niskalel, Avzeh, Afzeh lechuvenem karenu Yishmael. So we have this concept in the Medrash that Kaviyochol, in the judgment of the brothers, Yosef deserved this punishment of being sold as an Eved, and the paradigm for that is Knan, who was cursed because of his sin and would suffer Avdus. And if you take a look, in fact, in the Archaim in Parshas Vayeshev, he mentions that the brothers, Donu Bodin, they had a judgment, and it's sort of like the Eight Zomim, who had a scheme to do evil. And here too, just like the Eight Zomim testify falsely against the accused, so too they felt, they decided as a decision of the court that Yosef had brought false testimony against them to Yaakov when he told about their various saveros. And then he writes, Ben Noach Nerag al pi eid echad, ubelo edim ubelo asra v'al edus krovim. So you might ask, how could they have judged Yosef and found him guilty as accused when they are krovim, their relatives, they can't testify against him? And the answer is that they judged Yosef as a ben Noach, and a ben Noach could be killed even by virtue of the edus of the krovim. And he says, "V'kasav shom she'beferush shechoshvu sheyufteru me'onesh af bedine." Shamayim. In their approach, they didn't have any element of guilt at all because of this verdict of Bezdin, Upirish Bisfarno, Shedonu Shechayev Misa Kidina Bol Hagucha Hashkim Hargo, Hagatzmacha, in Bezdin Otsiu Psak Din al Echad, Shechayev Misa Vitan, Vitobidin Shirotzalash Koso, Kos Moves La Miso Noslo Kos Yayin, Haim Nomar. Now, as they gave him yayin instead of poison, and not only that, in their mind they thought that he was chayav misa, it was a tos bedin. In such a case, there's no aver b'machshava, no aver b'maisa. And that's what the Or Chaim means, that in the case of the brothers of Achi Yosef, it's like a case where he was miskaving lahashkos kos moves based on the decision of Beis Din, and they wanted to do away with Yosef. And at the end, they didn't do a maisa ra, but rather Yosef was eventually going to rise to be the viceroy of Egypt, and we cannot hold him guilty for the machshava ra, because the machshava itself was a mitzvah. He says, "V'ein lahakshol shenimtzu b'medrash u'bezor shenenshu hashvatim al mechiris Yosef." What about our kasha before on the Or Chaim that there was a punishment meted out for this horrible, catastrophic avera of mechiris Yosef? Now we're saying it's not a chet at all, and that's what the Or Chaim is insisting. Yesh lomar dehoya medagdek, the Hashem medagdek imat tzadikim kechut asayra, that God has a high standard of judgment with regard to tzadikim, and even though objectively for you and I this would not qualify as an avera that would be liable and punishable in the Beis Din Shel Mala, but nevertheless for the tzadikim it is. God is extremely demanding and meticulous and meets out judgment against them for having this machshava, even though according, and we once discussed this, that their basic mistake was that there's a halacha that a soni is pasul lodun. And we know, and the pasuk testifies to the fact that they already were harboring such enmity vis-a-vis Yosef, that they would therefore be pasul lodun. In any event, li'enia olam nechshav l'chet, disavru demachshavtem hayalara, al be'emes lo havi chet klal. So based on this relative judgment, this specific judgment for tzaddikim of kechut ha'saira, they did something that looks to the spectator as if they had a machshava ra, they were doing something horrible, and therefore for that they were going to be judged. But in truth, it wasn't a chet at all. We say similar things about David HaMelech with Batsheva, that the spectator looks at it as a terrible avera, when we know that according to the technicalities of sin, there was no chet. Kol mishomer David chateinu ela toa. Look at the Arve Nachal in Parshas Vayechi. Atem chashavtem Olaira oil kim chashva litova. And he writes that based on the sugya that we learned of Hashem Yislach, a person is punished for a machshava, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the machshava of man, that machshava is considered a chet as if he did the action. Interesting lashon, because that goes back to the chakir that we had before about whether it's that avera or not. And we came to the conclusion in the Shut, Biurim V'Yunim, that there was a machlokas about this very point. The Arvi Nachal seems to be taking a position in this machlokas. He says, Masha'en kein bein odom l'chaveru vadi afil yachshov l'chaveru ra kol shigomol otovos eino nenash. Person intended to do evil and to damage someone, but it turns out he did a good favor, a good deed for his friend. The machshava would not engender or generate any sort of a punishment, because the machshava was not a machshavas hezek against chaver, to harm him, but actually, as it turns out, it was a machshava letova for his friend. And therefore, we can certainly assume that what Yosef is telling the brothers is that they are absolutely guiltless here, because you cannot hold a person in Bein Odom L'Chaver responsible for Machshava Ro, and in fact it turns out to be a Tova for that person. So since Lamaisa turns out it was Tov, then that's not an Avera of Bein Odom L'Chaver. And that's why, according to the Or Chaim, Yosef, the brothers are absolutely guiltless. Interesting is the Tshuvas HaRajba, Loma Ein Mevarcha Mitzvahs like Malvis Chavero, and he asks about mitzvos on Beinom L'chaver. We don't find brachas on those mitzvos. And his answer is the following. He says, We don't make a bracha on a mitzvah which is totally bedas acherim. We don't know. Will he receive your chesed, your tova, or will he not? In the case of charity, will the ani accept your tzedakah, or will he not? And since we don't know, and it's not in his control to clinch the mitzvah and define it as such, therefore you don't make a bracha on such a mitzvah. If you look in the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Brachas, he writes, "Kol mitzvah say shebein adam limakom," or for that matter, "Bein mitzvah she'ena chova bein mitzvah she'chova mevarech aleha kodem lasiyasa." So the Rambam has established a whole hierarchy here of reciting brachas on mitzvahs, and he says that whether or not it's bein adam limakom, or I'm sorry, if it's been Adam L'Mokom, whether or not it's a mitzvah of Chovah, or it's a mitzvah that's not a Chovah, you make a Brach. So the impression is that the Rambam also accepted the Tshuvas Arash, but then on a Bein Adam L'Chavero, you don't make a Brach. And getting back to the Minchas Shlomo of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says, Nir Lefi Anistaiti, Afil Lovash Talis, O Ochal Besukah. Okay, now we're dealing with pure Bein Adam Lemakos of talis and sukkah. V'yom b'feir shenim eskavi lemitzvah the kuliyalma lo osa mitzvah. He had expressed intention that this should not be a mitzvah. We can't force it down his throat. Nevertheless, despite that fact, afilu hachi ein roen oso keover al esei. We don't define him as someone who violated a mitzvah sasei. Keva de Bahai Gavra Ein Anikori Klal Kra de Teshu Besukashare Yoshev Ba Vechain Hakra de Gdilim Tasil Chaholu Kvar Osui Vudoma Ktasil Misha Hachazir Shav Soy Shehichzir Avedo Shenosin Schar Sochir Bizmano Vyom Fesha Ein Kavanosil Mitzu the Afal Gav de Lemand the Yomer Mitzvah Sichas Kavod Lo Kaavit Shu Mitzvah Im Nomar Hachi Gam Be Mitzvah Sichliol Shu Beinom Lachavero Mikomakom Gam Bittel Esei Ein Kan Hachi Nami Benidon Didan. So just to summarize the Chiddush here of Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch, he says that in Mitzvos Bein Adam Lemakom, he says explicitly, I don't want to be Yotzei this Mitzvah. Nevertheless, he's not considered an overall essay, a bittel essay, of sitting outside the sukkah, eating outside the sukkah, or not wearing a beged of dalet kamfes with tzitzis on them, but rather we view him as a person who's guilty of machshavas avera, misha hichzir aveda, o nosan tzchar socher bizman of yom v'feresha ein kavanosa lemitzvah. So he's returning a lost object, he's paying up his workers, their wages, but he explicitly declares that he doesn't have kavanah l'shem mitzvah, and even if I hold mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, he doesn't violate any mitzvah. And im nomar hachi gam mitzvah sichlios shebein onan l'chavero, bittel esei ein kan. There's no bittel esei. So bittul essay requires a bittul essay, but here he did the essay. Okay, maybe we can't force the essay down his throat, and Bal Korcho say he was mekayim the essay when he said beferish that he doesn't have kavanah l'mitzvah, but nevertheless to say that therefore he's eating outside the sukkah, or he's wearing a beggar dalid kamfes without tzitzis, that we're not going to say. And it could be that in the case of mitzvahs We don't need kavana. Okay, let's say you hold mitzvah srichas kavana. I'm not sure if that applies to mitzvah sichlias, to mitzvah benom lachavero, to morality and ethics. But even if I grant you need kavana, even in the moral mitzvahs, nevertheless, we can't hold him liable as a mevatel in an essay, simply because he forfeits the essay by saying he doesn't have kavana for the essay. But mitzvahs, he did the essay, so you can't call him a mevatel essay. Mevatel essay needs it in a positive sense. He was mevatel. And that's where Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, "Leinyan mitzvah srichas kavana mitzvah benon lachaver kaman de ikar hamachuvon ba mitzvah shechavero hana o shelo yelo hefseid ein tzar kavana vaiku asiyas hamitzvah." So that the Minchas Shlomo had hinted to this shita of the Asvin Darais, that even if I hold mitzvah srichas kavana, that's only in Bein Adam lemakom, but in Bein Adam lechaveru, the main thing is the recipient receives what he receives. He got the benefit that he benefited from. You don't need kavana for that mitzvah. So as Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying, that if he doesn't have kavana for the mitzvah, or if he says, "I don't want the mitzvah right now, I don't have kavana for the mitzvah," he says in a positive sense, then, in the case of Ben Adam lechavero, he's not considered a bittel mitzvah, but Reb Shlomo Zalman is not willing to grant him a kiyuma mitzvah. So now we're going even further, that the fact that his friend receives the good, that makes it into a mitzvah unto itself. And the Kli Chemda writes that le'inya mitzvah Ben Adam lechavero lo tzarech kavana, Lekuli Alma, meaning even if universally I hold you do need kavana, not in the case of Ben Adam Lechavero, reflecting what we saw in the Asvin Dorais, and Nirud Mihai Tame Ein Mevorchim B'mitzvos She Ben Adam Lechavero Kedon Tztoka V'chayotzi Ba Kibra V'em V'chayotzi Ba Kevon Delo Tzorach Kavana V'mele Lo Shach Brocha Kevon De Ikra Brocha Mokom Kavana K'mo Shekosu Aposki. The purpose of a bracha is to inject kavana. But in the case of Ben Adam Lechaveru, we're saying now that you don't need kavana, and therefore you don't need the bracha to inject kavana into the mitzvah. And if we have time, we'll take a look at the tshuva of the Beis HaLevi regarding achilas kodshim, if you need kezayis or not. And he brings the Gemara in Yuma about Higiani Kipul with regard to Lechem Aponim. So you see, you don't need Kezayis for Achilas Kodshim. V'dokes asma l'dchosa l'didini l'ibori d'loboy Kezayis. That in Achilas Kodshim you don't need a Kezayis. Why? Because in the case of Achilas Pesach, that's the exception through, you need a Kezayis because it's a separate Chovas Gavra Maisa Achila. In the case of Mitzvahs Achilas Kodshim, we don't have a Chovas Gavra with a Maisa of Achilas HaKodshim. What we have is a din of Nechal, that the Kodshim has to be a Nechal. And therefore, there's no mitzvah on the person to do the Maisa Achila, just that he has to guarantee that the team itself has to supervise that the kodshim will be eaten, but not that there's a mitzvah of achila karkafta the gavra, but rather it's a din of nechal, that the basar kodesh has to be a nechal. So since the kiyum is in the cheftza, not in the karkafta the gavra, that it should be nechal, the basar should be nechal, therefore is kepula lovon, you don't even need a kezayis. But in achilas pesach, where there's a chovas gavra, a mais achila, ein achila pochos mi kezayis. And this is why the Rambam is justified in Minyan HaMitzvahs for counting Korban Pesach, not only Shechita as a mitzvah, but even the Achila as a mitzvah. In the case of Korban Chatos, it's one mitzvah of Shechita and Achila, because there's no separate Chovas Gavra. It's only part of the Avodah and the Kiyum Korban that he eats the Basar in all Kodshim, Chatos, whatever it might be. Masha'en Kein in Pesach is a separate mitzvah of Maisa Achila, and therefore the Achila has to be counted as a separate mitzvah, independent of the mitzvah Shechitas HaPesach. Now, in the Gemara in Nazir, there's a mashal l'shnayim Shetzolu pischeim zesha achal l'shem mitzvah tzadikim yelchu ba zesha achal l'basar l'shem achila gaso poshim yikoshlu ba or rasha karasaba, whatever it might be. And this fits in very well with what we're saying, that in the case of achilas ha-pesach, as a unique exception to the rule, the mitzvah is achila, and the achila has to be a kezias. And therefore, in the case of someone who eats achila gasa, that's not considered an achila, according to the Torah. There's no valid recognition of that achila as an achila, and therefore he is forfeiting the mitzvah of achila as a separate mitzvah in the mitzvah of achilas Korban Pesach. So it's not just that he forfeits on a mitzvah in a muvchar, but he forfeits the mitzvah itself if he's eating it as an achila gas. And this would be true whether you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, mitzvah ein srichas kavana. That mitzvah, and you want to say mitzvah srichas kavana, that's if it's a chovas gavra and a maisa asiya, and for that you might need kavana. But if it's only in the cheft itself, then it has to be a nechal, it has to be consumed, kimitzvaso, then in such a case, we would not apply the principle of kavana, that you require kavana. Kavana is only in the maisa mitzvah, but not in the chefta nechal. That's the thrust of what we have here in the Beis Halevi. Now, if you look in the Klechemda, in Parshas Vayechi, Lahatzlik is a tzaddik shil dvar v'kadosh in t'mu mufloim, trying to justify the Archaim that we discussed before, nearly l'anias daitik havanoso, d'afagav de pligi, rava, v'rovi, yazlina basa machshova, basa maisav, haynu dafka ba'ver shemein onam l'mokom, in the perspective of bein onam l'mokom, in the perspective of Shamayim, l'akosh pof, there's no nafkamina bein maisav l'machshova. And therefore, even though a person is not to be judged for machshava as if he did the maisa, but nevertheless he can be judged to some extent for his machshava. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows and penetrates into the machshava of a person as haslina vasa machshava. Masha enkein, however, in conscious and beinonim l'chaveiro, where the ikar kavana is to not to do or think or plan to do evil, but to actually do evil, is that's what the Torah prohibits, is kuli alma modim dima maisa haya maisa tov vi adar ava nitzmach mise tova is azlinen basa maisav. And here for sure we would not say let's put the emphasis on his machshav. In the light of this chiddush, the Kli Chemda justifies the conclusion of the Archaim that the brothers are not guilty of in Beinon L'Chaver of any sort of a Maisa, because the Maisa turned out to be a Toiva, and we don't judge a person in Beinon L'Chaver of Machshava, and that's why the Archaim says that they're completely Zakon B'din, even B'din Shomayim. And Vashem Yislach would not apply in this case, as it does in the case of Niskavim Lechol Basel Chazir, where you're dealing with Beinon L'Mokom and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges you for your Machshava. Here, in the case where we're dealing with Beinon L'Chavero, there's no guilt or liability if they did a mitzvah instead of an avera, instead of being mazik them, they did a toiva. And the requirement of slicha kapar and Hashem yisacha, that applies to bein adam l'mokom. That makes it a little bit confusing in terms of the tosis that we mentioned at the outset regarding the case of Rav Huna and the ripping of the garments, and so forth and so on, where Tosus says that we have to assume that Hodiah Libno, he notified his son to Machalo, because otherwise this would come under Basar Chazir, and you're feeding someone Basar Chazir by breaking these Kalim, and the answer, and his getting angry, is the answer is that that Lifneiver here is to be Machshel Chavir is Bein Onam Le Chavero, and since he's doing him a tova, and it's l'shem tovaso, therefore it's not considered, he's not guilty for Bein Adam, in the case of Bein Adam L'Chavera, for his Machshava Ra. Now, the Gemara at the end of Makkos tells us the story of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is the eternal optimist that we know, and Rabbi Akiva, unfortunately, is going to suffer the tremendous punishment in the worst, harshest way amongst the Asaruge Malchus, as we discussed before. There's Yerushalmi and Brachos, which we don't have time for right now because we're really running low on time, but at least maybe we can stop in the Shalah who says Shamati Mixes Hamakubalim Ki Rabbi Akiva Yegilgal Shel Yosef L'chei Nikra Akiva Ben Yosef L'fim Hashkasaf T'mal Yosef who Echad is Yavo Aremes B'misas Rabbi Akiva She Yotzisa Nishmasa B'Echad She Nishmas Yosef. So the Shalah is a different twist. We've been assuming that Rabbi Akiva is the Gilgul of Shimon. Now we're saying that he's a Gilgul of Yosef. That's why he's called Akiva ben Yosef. And if you accept the Shalah's premise that Rabbi Akiva is a Gilgul of Yosef, then Yosef is called Echad. He's unique, singular, unto himself. And the Shalah develops this idea elsewhere. And in Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's Yotza Nishmasa B'Echad is the Neshama of Yosef. So that Rabbi Akiva is the one who's willing to give up his life, Al Kiddush Hashem, as one of the Asar Aruge Malchus, and he's the eternal optimist. He waits all his life to fulfill the mitzvah B'chol Avavcha, and he does it B'simcha. That's the great level of Rabbi Akiva as a Gilgul of Yosef, Yotza Nishmasa B'Echa. Rabosai, this is what we have here for this very complicated sugya here in Parshas Vayigash. Our final conclusion is that Yosef's point to the brothers is they're not guilty, they're not liable. Hashem Chashva L'Tova. This is not a case of Bein Adam L'Makom, which would come under the din and the klal of Hashem Yislach La, but rather of Bein Adam L'Chavero. Aye, there are so many statements in Chazal that indicate that there was a punishment to be demanded. That's because it doesn't look too good. It really looks like sinna, and like they were doing something absolutely horrible by selling their brother, and that they're guilty. But strictly meikra din, if not for tzaddikim, you know, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu medagdik b'tzaddikim kichut ha'saira, strictly al pi din, it was not a chait, and we should be zocha to see Avas Yisrael, Kiddush Hashem, in the positive sense. And in that way, the lessons of the Mechiras Yosef and that whole parasha will be taken to heart in a very serious way. Oylan miyom adin, oylan miyom tochacha. We have to be very aware of the severity and the serious nature of our actions, the repercussions there are thereby. And we should always be mechavin letova in everything that we do. Ken yiratzon, amen.